TigerFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 269. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, we talk about the men's basketball team and their limp towards the NIT. We break down what the best and worst case scenarios look like for this team going forward. Then we jump into the future and predict the 2017 football season. Is it too early to do that? Of course it is, but that's what makes it fun. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to us talk about the Hoops team, well, after we talk about something ridiculous. Matt, it's Valentine's Day. We're recording on Valentine's Day night.
Yes, we are.
So I'm going to start out, and we're going to go straight into our Valentine's Day tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
You may not know we had a Valentine's Day tweet bag, but we certainly do.
It's a lot like in elementary school when you would set up that little box. I remember we used to make little pocket envelope things, and we'd hang them over the edge of the desk, and everybody would go around and put the Valentine in it. That's what the Valentine's Day tweet bag is like.
Yeah, it totally is like that.
It's decorated with hearts and glitter.
That's right.
Ninjas. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
My oldest daughter, they all made theirs, and they actually made little boxes or containers. And she made hers out of an old baby formula container. Because we have five kids, and we have plenty of those. That's why she made it out of that.
But just to clarify, not all five of your children are currently using baby formula.
Only four of them. The oldest is out, but the 8-year-old still likes it.
And you do it a little bit.
Actually,
right?
I mean, I'll tell you what. Baby formula is
it the perfect food?
I don't know about that. But I'll tell you this much. Our youngest right now, the baby, he's got some sensitivity issues to milk. So we tried this non-milk-based formula.
Dairy was a bad choice.
Dairy was a bad choice. I open up the canister. It smelled like terrible cat food.
Mm.
And shocker, he won't eat it. And the doctor's like, well, yeah, sometimes babies don't like that. You think? It tastes like poo. Of course, the kid doesn't want to eat it. It's the same thing when I fed my kids like baby food. If I can't put a spoonful in my mouth, they don't have to do it. You know, meat surprise or whatever some of these terrible
meat
baby
surprise.
Foods are. Anyway, we have gone way off course. Okay, back to the tweet bag, Matt. Back to the tweet bag. Spencer Lindemann at VLDSSDL says, how in the world did your wives let you record a podcast during the evening of Valentine's Day? I assume Spencer is not 40 years old and doesn't have five kids, or that question might be answered by him easily. Matt, why did you're not 40 years old and you only have four kids.
Because I wear the pants. That's why.
No, stop it. You're ridiculous. You totally do not wear the pants in your family. That is factually incorrect.
Well, listen, not wearing pants is liberating. So, I'm actually traveling. I'm out of town.
Yeah, so, but it wouldn't have made a difference.
This was better than the alternative. What was funny was I got an email from my boss this morning saying that basically read, you're leaving to go out of town on a trip on Valentine's Day? Like, turns out you're a much bigger risk taker than I thought. But I'm hoping that the locks still work when I get home. I got confidence that it'll be okay.
You got confidence. All right, so our brother Don added to that, shouldn't you be spending Valentine's night with your wives?
Yes.
They either really love you or don't want to spend time with you. Both of those things can be true, Don. They can love you and not want to spend the time with you.
That's how I feel about our brother Don.
Yeah, that's a great point. Nice. Zing! My wife and I aren't big Valentine's Day people. We don't make a big deal of Valentine's Day. It's a fake holiday. People know that, right? It's not real. This isn't Christmas. This isn't, you know, 4th of July, Thanksgiving. Somebody just made this up and started selling stuff. People get that, right?
It isn't real as in the Matrix, as in the blue pill and the red pill?
That's right. Just like that. Just like the Matrix, which I have never seen.
Don't even know what I'm talking about.
Had seen it. It's one of the best movies of all time. So Matt, I don't know about you and your wife. We've never made Valentine's Day has never been a big deal for us.
We celebrate it, but we did. I surprised her last night with flowers, and we did all that. Of course, we've got some sick kids at the house, so I had to get takeout dinner instead of us going out. But it was still delicious, and and then my wife got, we did some little stuff for the kids. We do that,
Yeah, we do stuff for the kids. Like, we're not total Valentine Scrooges. It's just like, tonight we had a elementary school band concert.
Who schedules that?
I don't know who scheduled that. I have no idea. Like, somebody messed up on that one. But actually, it wasn't as bad. My first elementary school band concert wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Maybe my expectations were just super low.
Yeah, they're not bad. I've been to middle school band concerts.
Yeah. Daughter plays the flute, which, in retrospect, is probably one of the best instruments your kid can pick. It's not super loud. They're relatively easy to play, like unlike a reed instrument, which I learned the saxophone as a kid. That's a lot harder.
And also louder. I'm just going to throw
and
that
louder,
out there.
And what was crazy to me, two of the bands that performed, they had to have teachers play percussion because they didn't have kids playing percussion. That was never a problem in my bands growing up. There's always guys that want to play percussion. I don't know. Maybe where have all the drummers gone, Matt?
I don't know.
Man, we are way off. Like, I have no idea what we've just talked about for the last 6 minutes.
No, are we recording this still?
I think we are. I think we are. So let's let's end this.
Let's reel it in. Go straight into
the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Men's volleyball, Matt swept the Trojans of USC, basically annihilated them, much like we said they would last week on the podcast. They are back home this week hosting UC San Diego. Coming up later on the podcast, we'll be talking about a different San Diego. Matt, how many universities are in San Diego? San Diego,
too many.
UC San Diego, San Diego State. Like, and so San Diego, like, I'm just confused. There's too many.
UC San Diego Obispo. I mean, there's a lot of them.
I'm pretty sure that's not one.
It is. Look it up.
But check out men's volleyball Friday and Saturday night. They will be against UC San Diego's 5-7 this year. Not a great team. That'll be on BYU TV. I believe Jerem Jordan, a friend of the podcast, will be on the call. Matt, Shea Collinsworth ran the fifth fastest time ever, I believe, in the 800 meters at an NCAA track meet this past week. She is, or as her family would probably rather have us say, Kyle Collinsworth is married to her. Right? Isn't that the better way to say it?
Well, is it becoming a situation where she's actually more famous than he is?
Well, I think certainly right. Yeah, I'd say right now. But we'll get back to Kyle Collinsworth. We're actually going to talk about him later in the show. Tease. That's a teaser, folks.
And by the way, I'm counting 20 university colleges and community colleges in San Diego. If you count University of Phoenix is on this list.
You can't count University of Phoenix. They're everywhere.
Anyway, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot. Well, it's a nice place. The weather's terrific. As long as you're not at San Diego State, I'm okay with it. If you're at San Diego State, I'm sorry. You made a mistake.
Plenty of options.
Plenty of options in San Diego. 19 others, even University of Phoenix, over San Diego State. That's right, I said that. You can quote me on it. You can record it. Blast it out. I don't care. BYU baseball opens this weekend, Matt, at a tournament in Atlanta against number 21 Georgia Tech. They're led by returning All-Americans Colton Shaver and Keaton Kringlin. Fun baseball team to watch last year, so I expect they will be a fun team to watch. As usual in their playing in Provo when they get back later in the season, a lot of homers fly out in Utah, so it's it can be fun to watch those games. Matt,
that's cool.
Jimmer has an incredible highlight reel from his first year in the Chinese Basketball Association. You can check that out at jmoneysports.com. He's kind of been tracking Jimmer's progress throughout the year. Matt, the highlights, it feels like Jimmer is back in college again when you watch it.
Yeah, it's old Jimmer. It's the Jimmer we all love.
It's old Jimmer. And I'm just telling you, had that guy ended up on Golden State right now, he's a role player on the Golden State Warriors. They would have figured out how to use him. I'm just saying. In today's NBA, a guy that can shoot that kind of three-pointer should be out there. So, anywho, Matt, we are sponsored again this week, and we are sponsored again by me.
Hey,
one listener, at least, on up until I think it's March 6th, you can support the Kickstarter for my new science fiction books, the Sycorax series. And you can do that. Go to Kickstarter.com and just type in the word Sycorax, Sycorax. The science fiction novellas, all three of them, are based on Shakespeare's The Tempest. So go check it out on Kickstarter.com, the Sycorax series. And there's a very funny video that stars myself and my kids. I think I mentioned that last time.
It is funny.
Mainly because of the kids, not so much because of me.
Agreed.
Men's basketball, Matt. Let's dive into this. First, I would call it the worst loss in Dave Rose's career at Pepperdine, except we lost at home to Utah Valley earlier this season. So I can't do that.
So the title's already been taken.
Title has been taken, and though Pepperdine is not as good of a team as UVU, I would have to say that because that game was at home, the Utah Valley loss, I think it's a bigger loss, don't you?
Yes,
I think it's a bigger loss. Now, Pepperdine seems to have BYU's number. What is the deal with that, Matt?
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense, right?
They're not good. Like, if we lost, we talked about this last week. If you lose to San Francisco, it stinks. You should win that game, but at least they're like a top 120 team, right? Pepperdine is like not even top 250. They're not good. We beat them by like 30 points earlier in the season, and we just went out and laid a complete and total egg. Any explanations?
No, I don't. There is no real logical explanation. There's certainly not. I can't even come up with one that I would even find acceptable.
No,
it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense. We lost to Pepperdine last year again at Pepperdine. They were a better team last year, by the way, than they are this year. So last year's loss doesn't look nearly as bad as this year's loss. And it was actually Pacific last year that was, I think, our worst loss. Matt, right now and over our last, let's call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, we're 3-3. And only one of those losses came against a good team in Gonzaga. I don't know what to say, man. You gave up 99 points to Pepperdine. That's not a good evening. Matt, does the bounce back against San Francisco mean anything to you? Does that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside?
Well, no. I mean, it doesn't make me any more comfortable with the loss.
No, it doesn't. You're supposed to beat San Francisco.
Right. Beating a team you're supposed to beat is not going to make me feel any better.
No. You look at last year, according to the Macy ratings, at the end of the year, we were the 50th best team in the country. We were a team that was in discussions towards the end of possibly making the tournament, but we didn't. Preseason, people thought we'd be a top 50 team again and be contending for a tournament. According to Massey ratings right now, and I believe I've now pronounced that two different ways.
Yeah, that's fine. Podcast. One of these times you'll probably say it right.
Yeah, if you keep changing around, you're liable to hit the right one. 74th, Matt, this, not only does this team not deserve it, the question I'm going to ask, Matt, is are they even going to get an NIT home game?
The only thing that really, and I think you mentioned this a week or two ago, the thing that gives me any hope in that department is that we know we'll sell tickets.
Yes, we know we'll sell tickets. Yes. I mean, we'll get into the NIT, I'm pretty confident, unless the wheels came off and we lost every game the rest of this season, which I'm not saying is impossible, but you've got a home game against San Diego and a road game against Portland, who's not very good. Of course, we just lost a road game to Pepperdine, who's not very good, so that could be in doubt. But two of those games are St. Mary's and Gonzaga. I'm not predicting BYU to win either of those. Are you?
No. Oh, no, no, no.
Even home against St. Mary's?
No.
I don't see any reason.
St. Mary's right now has got a lot on the line. I mean, they've got an opportunity to get themselves into a really interesting position going into the tournament. I imagine they're going to be pretty focused.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they will be very focused because they're at that point playing for a better seed, right?
Yeah.
The better they do towards the end of the season, the best. Well, Matt, Tim Jacobson has a old-fashioned email for us for the tweet bag.
Ooh, snail mail.
He was interested in my comments about Nick Emery's regression, and he says he was out of town and missed the Gonzaga game. When he got back, he said his wife, who has never played any organized sport in her life, had the following comments about Nick Emery. It's like he's frenzied. He comes down and just shoots a three with no rebounders. He's all frantic, not playing with any discipline. Bingo, Tim says about his wife's comments, and I'd have to agree with her. I think he's been very, especially in the last 10 to 12 games, has been kind of all over the place. Now, granted, he was sick a little bit in there. He has an explanation for us, Matt. Tim does.
All right, well, let's see what he's got.
Two words, Shea Collinsworth's husband. That's three words.
What's that guy's name again?
I can't remember. Mr. Triple-Double. I think, Matt, when you and I talked about in the preseason, we kept saying things along the lines of, we think this team could be better than last year's team, right? Might not be because of the youth, but we think there's a good chance. I think Tim has nailed it on the head. Collinsworth and point guard play and distributing the basketball is the biggest problem for the offense. You put Collinsworth on this team with Mika down low and shooters on the outside, I think we are a top 45 team. He was that good, and I think we underappreciated him because they only made the NIT last year. Now we can see how bad things can get when you take him out.
You know, I hadn't even thought about it in that light, surprisingly enough.
I hadn't really either.
But when you put it in that context, and think about that. So last year, we were all disappointed in that NIT bid.
Very disappointed, yeah.
But look at what they look like without him.
And I think a lot of people were wondering, yeah, he's got the triple-doubles and stuff, but is he overrated? You know, he loses Hawes, and is he overrated? And I think what we're finding out here is the answer is absolutely not. He was not overrated. He was very good, and he made players, including Nick Emery, around him better. And I think he was a better defender and could guard both perimeter and could guard in the paint as well. And that 1-3-1 really worked well with him on top because of his size. And it made it really hard on those wings for the ball handlers of the opposite team to move the ball to the other side of that defensive formation. So I think Tim's onto something. So hats off to you, Tim.
You know, and I started thinking that it was just one of these instances of somebody just pushing too hard, you know, just...
Could be. Surely could be. I mean, this was supposed to be his team this year, right?
Yeah.
Nico would wind back into shape off the mission. Hawes was too young, you know, all those type of things. We all know whose team it is now. It's the Mika and Child show, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else is even close, right? I mean, they're the best two players on this team by, like, you know, by heads and shoulders, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's particularly close. Maybe TJ Hawes is third, but I think, and Mika's the best, by the way. Childs has played fantastic over the last few weeks, but Mika's the best by a long shot.
So is this sustainable? Is Child's performance sustainable?
I don't think it's just
who he is.
Sustainable, Matt. I think he will become better. I think there's room for improvement. He turns the ball over a lot. He is not a great passer yet, but I think that could come because he is a freshman. I think he could become even a better rebounder, though he's a pretty good one now. And he's a good defender. I know. I think the sky's the limit. Friend of the podcast, Greg Why can't I think of Greg's name right now? Voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebel.
Rebel.
He was tweeting out stuff. Greg was tweeting out stuff this weekend about how favorably Child's freshman year compares to Kawhi Leonard, former.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't see that, okay? Kawhi Leonard's now, you know, potentially future NBA Hall of Famer and an NBA candidate. I mean, MVP candidate in the NBA. But I think Childs has. If you were to tell me right now, pick a player not named Eric Mika who has the best chance playing in the pros on this roster, I pick Childs.
Well, and if this is true, what you're saying about Childs, if this is who he is, I mean, think about what that means for the reality of what this team will look like over the next couple of years versus what we all thought it was going to be a year ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It changes everything when your team is based, your two best players are big men, right? We thought this was going to be a perimeter-dominated team with Mika, you know, being very good, but I thought this year Emery was going to be the best player. Didn't you?
Yes.
I thought he was going to be the best player. And I'm a little shocked that he isn't. But on the flip side, maybe we shouldn't have, you know, Mika was really good as a freshman. And I think, you know, we all say this, oh, this thing off the mission thing. But then you start seeing, oh, well, you know, anyway, these two are good, Matt. They're good. They're good. Unfortunately,
yeah, they are pretty good.
The rest of the team is not playing up to that. Andre Hutchins asked this, Matt, on Facebook. What is the best and worst outcome for the basketball team for the remainder of the season? Matt, I think the best outcome is they somehow miraculously win the conference tournament and get to the NCAA tournament. Now, granted, if they do that, they're going to be a very low seed. But that's the best outcome, right?
I mean, in theory, yes, but do I think that the ceiling for this team at this point has a NCAA tournament berth inside of it?
Oh, no, yeah.
The ceiling, I think, if I just rephrase the question a little bit and say, what's the ceiling for this team at this point? It's an NIT bid.
The best case scenario, if they don't win the tournament, is an NIT home game and then a deep NIT run. Now, please, I've seen a few of you tweet this. Stop it with the don't accept an invitation to the NIT. We talked about it, but people that keep doing it, you sound like a moron. You're going to take the NIT invite.
Yes, you go.
You go to the NIT. More practice, more games, more chances. You go. It was fun last year to advance almost all the way, wasn't it? I mean, it's not as cool as going to the tournament. I mean, I'd rather go to the tournament and lose that first game than go to the NIT and go deep, right? Or do you agree with
no,
that?
No, yeah, but you get some more games. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah, you get to keep playing. Like, the players should want to do it. Gary Payne on Twitter, that's at FastBreakGP. Adams level zero to Detmer. Oh, he's got a two-part question. So I'm gonna actually going to ask we're going to ask his first question first, okay? Question first. Best D to mitigate the superior passing of St. Mary's. He suggests the 1-3-1 with Ginn up top. I actually like that defensive setup. The only problem with it is I don't think the 1-3-1, I've said this before, works with both Childs and Meek on the floor. And unfortunately, your best team is Childs and Meek on the floor. What do you think?
Yeah, and if the team struggles are really the offense at this point, then you've got to get them on the floors together as much as you can.
Yeah, yeah. And I like where Gary's head's at because I do believe, but our problem against St. Mary's was not defense. They are a top offensive team. We gave up 81 points, which isn't great, but on the road, but we just couldn't score well enough against them. That was the biggest problem. Somebody besides Meek and Childs has to step up and score some points and take pressure off of those guys. Whether it's Hawes, whether it's Emery, you know, obviously the injuries this year, let's not downplay that either. Rose is now out. Davis was playing really well when he got hurt. And Kafusi has basically been an absolute non-factor due to football and then some issues of his own. And I think that's a big deal because that's a guy you can rotate in for Childs and Mika and bring somebody that brings something totally different with his defensive athleticism. So it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big deal. So let's get to the first part. Let's shift to football, Matt. Are you ready to shift mindsets here?
Oh, boy.
Okay, so before that, this week in basketball, let's predict real quick. Home against San Diego, that's a win, right?
That is a winner.
Home against St. Mary's on Saturday night, that's a loss, right?
That's a loss, yeah.
Percent chance BYU beats St. Mary's on Saturday night?
35? 15.
15. I was going to put like 35.
Nah, I think that's a little generous.
It may be. It may be. You know, and we'll see. I mean, the player we haven't mentioned today, but we talked about quite a bit last time, was Elijah Bryant, has played a lot better in conference play than he did at the beginning of the year. And, of course, at the beginning of the year, he was hurt too. So, you know, usually Coach Rose has his rotation figured out, but I think with the injuries and with the inconsistent play, he still doesn't know what to do with this team.
Yeah, I agree.
And we are how many games in?
Further along 25? Than we normally are when it gets figured out.
Yeah. So, well, let's shift to football. So Gary's other part of his question, Matt, is Adam's level of excitement, zero to Detmer, on San Diego State being added to the future football schedule? Matt scheduled a home-and-home, I believe, with them. And I have to say, I am oddly excited about that one.
Yeah, I was wondering how you would respond to this, right? So you're excited. You're not like, oh, I ain't playing these guys.
No.
You're excited about, you want to play them.
I want to crush them. I want to absolutely destroy them and humiliate them and their fan base. That's what I want to do. I'd feel the same way if we scheduled Stanford or Cal.
Wow, look at that.
So
you're
but the
really
problem
taking
is,
the task here, aren't you?
The problem is with San Diego State or any of those old Mountain West WAC foes, except for somebody like TCU or Utah, this is their Super Bowl when they play us. Bigger than their bowl game on a given year, depending on how good they are that year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one problem with playing teams like this, is that it will be the biggest game of the year for them, and it will not be for us.
Yep.
But I'd love to crush them. So zero to Detmer, I'd say my excitement is a Bosco level. How about
wow,
you, Matt?
Wow, that's pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Zero to Detmer for you, Matt.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say Federick.
Federick, okay. So excited, but not a lot.
Yeah, it's serviceable. It's a good matchup, but it's not blowing my mind.
No, it's not us scheduling LSU.
Maybe, and it's maybe even a little underrated, okay. Right? But
yeah, and
maybe I'll feel differently when we get to game week against those guys. But no, it's not LSU. It's not. Yeah, it's not a lot of teams. But,
yeah,
it's also not Portland State.
Right. It's also not Portland State, though. I'm glad about that game.
Yeah, that was smart. That was smart, actually, because the timing is right.
It's great to basically have a scrimmage, if you will, before you have to do that big game against LSU.
Yep.
Holy crap! And LSU is going to be good. Orgeron had them playing really well down the stretch, Matt.
I listen to a lot of LSU sports talk radio because that is all I can get.
Yes.
Where I live now. And I'm even pretty confident in the Tigers at this point.
Well, you're drinking the Kool-Aid for sure, right?
I am drinking the purple and yellow Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that you've got a, you know, LSU could be a lot of things next year. I think we can just safely say they're probably the best team we play all year. It may end up being Wisconsin, depending on how good Wisconsin is. Heck, it may be Mississippi State, because I think they're currently underrated, but we'll get to that in a second. It certainly won't be the back half of our schedule.
No.
It won't be the back half, and we'll get to that. But Matt,
little front heavy.
Let's jump back into the tweet bag, and good old Justin Sweeney has a tweet bag.
Sweeney,
that's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter. Justin says, "Am I crazy for thinking 9-3 is likely?" His guaranteed wins, Matt, are Portland, Utah State, East Carolina, San Jose State, Fresno, UNLV, UMass, and University of Hawaii. The losses, the two losses he's saying are a given, are LSU and Wisconsin, and then he has three games as toss-ups, Utah, Boise State, and Mississippi State. So, Matt, guess what it is for our first official prediction of the 2017 season, game by game.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so this is like pre-season.
Way too early. It's great.
It's way too early. We're going to call it pre-preseason. Okay? I'm typing this into the spreadsheet. Pre-preseason. Okay? To get us hyped before we get into this, Matt.
Get hyped.
ESPN did an analytical analysis of all the teams for next year. Okay? And basically, it's a combination of a lot of things, but it's their preseason football power index, where they basically take a lot of what happened last year and then throw in how many starters they have returning, quarterback experience, and four-year average of their recruiting. Okay?
Okay, makes sense.
Throw all that into some proprietary formula, and then they spit out these rankings that mean something, but probably nothing. Does that make sense?
I mean, actually it does.
They mean something, because there's data behind them. It's not just people guessing.
And yeah, it's not like it's not an exact science.
Well, no, it's not an exact science, because if you look at last year's, they were off on some teams, but quite frankly, they weren't bad last year. That's a whole nother podcast, probably. Matt, BYU is going into the season, according to this, 49th. Okay? Last year, we finished the year and the Massey ratings, different system of rating, but at 40. Okay? So they're seeing some drop-off, and that probably has to do with quarterback experience, though I think that's – I don't know how they judged that, but obviously Mangum's a little bit more experienced than your typical new QB. But I think a lot of it has to do with returning starters on defense.
Yes.
Because we lose some key players. So, Matt, are you ready to predict the 2017 season?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go.
Are we gonna write it down?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally writing it down. Okay.
So lock them in.
Locking them in. These predictions will basically define us going forward as human beings.
Wow. No pressure.
No pressure at all. Matt, Portland.
Win.
Okay. All right. Neutral site at Houston, Reliance Stadium, the Tigers of LSU.
Yeah, I'm going to put air quotes around neutral site, and it's a loss.
What? What are you saying? Houston's closer to Baton Rouge than it is to Provo?
I'm saying that I-10 is going to be backed up all the way to New Orleans.
Yeah.
Making their way towards Houston for that game.
All right, Matt. So the gauntlet continues with a rivalry game the next week in Provo against Utah, who, by the way, is ranked 50th in that FPI, ESPN, preseason FPI. So they have us pretty similar. Matt, did I lose
you? Are you thinking? You're back.
All right.
Oh, you're waiting for my pick.
I'm waiting for your pick. We're all waiting.
Oh, I thought you were still talking. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to do something crazy right now. It's a win!
It's a win. I am also going with a win. We're going to break the streak, Matt. All right. So then it's Wisconsin in Provo. Is it crazy that I want to go to that game?
No, I was just thinking that because, we traditionally travel to at least one of these games, right? And I think that is a fun one.
Yeah, that is a fun one. That is a fun one. So anyway, Wisconsin is 10th in that ESPN ranking, the FBI.
That is a lot better than 49.
What's your take on this game?
This is a loss.
This is a loss. I agree with you. Okay, so at this point, they're 2-2 going into Logan against Utah State. Matt, You got us or the Aggies?
I'm taking us over the Aggies.
Yeah, Aggies have not been great the last few years. They just haven't. That team, that program is not headed in the right direction for them.
Yeah, and I don't know much about how fearful we should be of Maverick Stadium, but I do know a thing or two about Maverick Station. Go ahead and try the hot chocolate. It's delicious.
It is delicious. That's true. And be feel free to fill up there. Matt, then it's Boise State in Provo. They're ranked 56, according to the ESPN FPI. Matt, us or the Broncos?
Taking the Broncos.
You are a pansy. I'm taking the Cougars. At home, if it was on the road, I'd take Boise State. But in Provo, I'm taking us.
Listen, we used all the luck up. We used all the luck up already in this schedule.
All right. Mississippi State in Starkville, Mississippi. They're the 33rd best team. Matt, I think they're going to be a top 20 team, Mississippi State, this year. I have this as a loss. How about you?
Yeah, it's a loss.
Okay. So a loss for you because you hate BYU Cougars. Okay. Matt, I'm going to do something really bold here. Okay?
All right. I think I'm about to do the same thing. Go ahead.
East Carolina is the next team. Then San Jose, Fresno, UNLV, UMass, and Hawaii. So that is a total of 6 games. Okay? Guess what, folks? Break out the snoozers. We are not even going to be close in these 6 games. We will blow everybody up.
Yeah, I think our last loss of the season happens October 14th. Either way. However many losses we have, that's the last one.
This quite frankly, is a good schedule in that there's some really cool games on here. That back half is brutal. They're not may not be among that last group a top 100 team. Now, somebody in that group will be better than we think they're going to be, right? At least one of those teams will probably be top 100.
Okay? But who?
East Carolina? Or I'm going to go out on a limb and say UNLV.
Oh, boy.
But I'm not going to say they're going to be a good team. I just said they're not going to be terrible.
Oh, okay. Well, now I don't feel better.
So go back to Sweeney's question. You have us finishing at 8-4. I have us finishing at 9-3. But mine is deceptive, and I'll tell you why. Okay, you ready for this? Even though if you just pick them heads up, I say we beat Utah and Boise State. The way you picked it, I think it's probably right in that I think we drop one of those games.
Yes.
So even though I'm predicting 9-3, and that's where my heart is, I think 8-4 is the likeliest outcome and I think is a successful season. Then you go to the bowl game and win. We don't know yet, right? Right? We don't know yet on that bowl, right?
No, we don't.
So you go to the bowl game and you win that, and then you end up with 9 wins if that happens.
So 8-4, which is essentially we won the games we were supposed to win.
Right.
That's not a successful season.
Look who the games. The problem, Matt, is. Everybody that we're playing, okay, everybody, Mississippi State, on the road, potentially a top 25 SEC team, okay? LSU could be the national champion, right?
Yeah.
And Wisconsin could win the Big Ten. So those are 3 games right there that I think would take Herculean efforts to win. And if you beat LSU and Houston, that may be one of the biggest wins in the history of the program, depending on how LSU finishes out the year, right? That would be Miami level, but maybe bigger because it's not in Provo, right? Don't you think it's in that ballpark?
Yeah, it's probably in that ballpark, but
Wisconsin probably not as high unless they're 3-2-0 and rolling and ranked in the top 5 or something, but okay. So what you're saying is I think you have with this to be schedule, 9-3 to for this to be a success.
I think you've got to be 9-3 or 10-2.
If you're 10-2, that means you beat Mississippi State, Wisconsin, or LSU.
Yep, probably.
No, you. 10-2. Yes, yes. You have to beat. Yes, Matthews.
You beat one Matthews of those Temple. Teams.
You beat one of those teams. Man, 10-2 would be a special year. But the crazy
given who those teams are, yeah, that would be pretty cool. I think you have to win 9 games here.
Okay, all right. So you're putting it out there. They got to win 9 games.
Yeah, no pressure.
This schedule will be worse than last year's schedule. True or false? Overall,
true.
I believe that is true. Unless Boise State, Utah, and or that last six has a team or two that is way better than we thought, this will be not as good as last year's schedule. And last year's schedule, quite frankly, was not all that it was cracked up to be.
No, the teams were not who we thought they were.
No, no. If you look back at the preseason, the average spot for those teams was 51.7, and then it ended at 66.7. Arizona was not as good as we thought. UCLA was not as good as we thought. West Virginia was actually better, so that's something. Toledo was about the same. Michigan State was terrible. Mississippi State wasn't very good. Cincinnati we thought would be decent. So that's the other part of this, Matt, is half of these teams are not going to be who we think they are today. Half these teams. They'll be something entirely different. So Boise State, what if they're a top 20 team? And it turns out Mississippi State's not even top 50, right? You don't know. You don't know.
You just flipped this whole thing on its head.
Well, that's why doing this kind of thing is ridiculous, but so much fun, right? Because there's so many unknowns with a college football team.
We really have no idea.
Even ones where you think you know. What I do know, Matt, is let's go to the top of that list, okay? FPI, all right? And you're going to predict your playoff teams.
Oh, boy.
College football playoff, and they're playing it on New Year's Day, I believe, again. Thank freaking goodness. Let me put it this way. I'll just go down their top 10, and you give me percent chance. We'll do both through this. This will be more fun. Percent chance that team is in the college football playoffs. You ready?
All right, bring it on.
And they don't have to add up. We're not being super analytical here. This is just for fun. All right.
So we're not even really doing math.
No, you don't have to do math. Ohio State is ranked number 1% chance there in the college football playoff.
75.
I was going to say 75 as well. Alabama is in the second spot. Percent chance there in the college football playoff.
75.
100. 100%. Until somebody beats them during the regular season and can keep them out of there, I say they're so far they've been in every one. There's been two of them, but that's the point. All right, Oklahoma out of the Big 12 is third, Matt.
40%.
I was going to say 45%. Florida State out of the ACC.
60%.
I was going to say 35%. I think they're overrated. Auburn.
See, the problem with Auburn is that they're going to have to beat Alabama to get in.
So 0% for Auburn.
I'm going to go ahead and give them like a 15-20%.
I'll give them like a 10%. LSU, I'll give them higher. I'll put LSU at like 25.
Yeah, I would say 25 for LSU.
Clemson without Deshaun Watson.
30%? 35? 35.
Okay. Penn State, the first team, second Big Ten team we've talked about.
4.
I'll say 5. We'll go over you a little bit. Washington out of the Pac-12, the first Pac-12 team we've mentioned so far.
12%.
I am going to say 0. I don't think there's a chance they're in this year. Wisconsin, or 1%. 0 is ridiculous, I guess. Wisconsin. 5%?
Yeah, it's not big.
10%? Matt, I'm going to throw one more team in there, and then you can also throw in a team, looking at somebody else you think maybe that has been missed. I'm going to say USC, 25%. I think that's the best team in the Pac-12.
Okay.
And assuming they don't all beat up on each other, Washington, Stanford, USC, one of those teams has a decent shot of making it. So, do you have a team? Anybody you like? Michigan?
Yeah, what about Michigan?
Yeah, they're 18th according to this FPI. I think
they've got them way too low.
Yeah. And they're probably underrated. But right now, you know, we pumped the Big Ten all year, Matt, and they kind of let us down there at the end.
Yeah, but can't we do the whole they were disappointed thing? Does that still fly? Do people still buy that excuse?
No, they don't. Nobody buys it. Well, some people buy it.
So it's still an awful excuse?
Yeah, it's still an awful excuse.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll back off of it then.
So anyway, well, Matt, we have predicted, we've basically sealed up the 2017 season.
I don't even know why they're going to play the games at this point, because we just told you what's going to happen.
We told you exactly what's going to happen. So, Matt, let's put this. What game, if scheduling wasn't an issue, money, whatever else, what game does a BYU fan have to be at this year? It's got to be LSU, right?
Yeah, it's the LSU game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to be there, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's second choice?
Ooh, see, that's tough.
Mississippi State, right?
I think that's like a cool destination game, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin in Provo is interesting just because to be in Provo for a big upset, like, people would be talking about, you'd be talking about that for years, right? And I guess that's true if you were at Mississippi State, but it's a little different when you're home. And
2017 Wisconsin is not the same thing as 2017 Mississippi State.
No, Wisconsin should be a better team.
Right.
By a good margin. And obviously destination-wise, there is UNLV, but that's probably, like the last time you and I went to a game at UNLV, going to be a snooze fest.
Right. If you travel to that game, the best part of the weekend is not the game.
Yes. Well, remember those UNLV fans in front of us basically apologizing for how terrible their team was?
That was pretty funny.
They were so nice and pleasant. Not to their own team, though. They booed a couple of times. And as we've said, we know where, over the next few years, what game we will be at. That's the UMass game in Gillette Stadium.
Yes, sir.
That is a guaranteed, write it down, we'll be there.
Isn't that crazy that that's a must-attend for us? That's awesome.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I'll be wearing my Kyle Van Noy jersey.
It's going to be great.
That's what I'm asking for my birthday. And if I don't get it, I'm asking for it for Christmas.
Just keep asking until you get it.
That's right. That's right. Just keep doing it. Or maybe I could just buy it. That's an interesting
thought. Yeah, actually, that's what I would do after I didn't get it the first time. I'd just go get it for myself.
Yeah, just go get it. Just go get it. So Matt, that's been a podcast.
There you go.
We'll be back next week to talk about the St. Mary's game, to preview Gonzaga. And by the way, did you watch any of that Gonzaga-St. Mary's game?
I did not.
I did. Gonzaga's good. Newsflash. And right now, a lot of the bracketology has them as the fourth number one seed. Absolutely insane. The computers.
This is a Final Four team.
We've talked about this before. It's Final Four, or this is a disappointment for Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
There's no, you know, you make the Elite Eight, it's a disappointment. This is a Final Four team. And this is a year they could win it, Matt, because all of the top teams are flawed. You know, that's one of the reasons why the computers like them the best. They're just consistent. And St. Mary's is a really good team. And they basically just kind of held them at bay the whole time. It was an interesting game to watch. Boy, they're deep. Gonzaga's deep. They have weapons everywhere. We're not going to even come close to beating them, are we?
Nope.
That's unfortunate. Well, we will be back next week, as I said, to do that. If you're interested in checking us out on Facebook, go to facebook.com/riseandshout. You can email us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. And, of course, on Twitter at @BYU_riseshout. Matt, anything to add before we sign off?
No, that's all I've got.
That's all you've got, huh? Well, it was great spending this Valentine's Day evening with you.
You just made it weird.
That's what I do. Hey, you're the one that texted me before. Should I read this text? Let me read this text. We podcasting tonight, question mark. Next text. Are you my podcasting Valentine? And I responded, yes, we are, and yes, I am.
Wow. So, this is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed.
It takes a lot more than this to embarrass you. I've known you a long time.
Yeah, that's true. I have no shame.
You very, very little shame. We'll embarrass our wives? Likely. But this whole show is kind of
my wife ever listens to the podcast.
Hey,
which she has
listened.
Not done in quite some time.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's my wife's listening and your wife's not. It's like they hey, wait a second. Do you think they planned that out?
Are they doing it in shifts?
Are they doing it in shifts so none of,
hey,
neither
I'm
of them
I'm kind of getting tired of listening to this. Can you listen to it for a little while and just tell me if there's something I need to know about?
Yeah, if they said something that's going to come back and haunt me.
Yeah, that's what's going on, isn't it?
It probably is. We married smart women. They're only choices were marrying us, right?
Questionable at best.
Hey, have you seen Lego Batman?
Nope.
Are you going to see it this weekend?
Nope.
I might see it this weekend. Looks funny. Anyway, I am so random tonight.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where that one came from.
I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Popped into my head. Lego Batman. Haven't you ever heard that thing? Every 10 minutes, somebody's thinking about Batman? No?
You know what? I believe that because that someone is me.
That's right. All it takes is one person. Well, anyway, thank you for downloading and listening. Also, go check out my Sycorax series Kickstarter, kickstarter.com. Search for the word Sycorax. Thanks for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up.